This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Can I ask, if you have not listened, if you weren't here last week at least, if you only hear this word, you're only going to hear half the story, you're going to get very, very upset and lost. I have to put that in there. All right? Is that good? So if you weren't here last week, please go download. It is on our website. You can go listen to the sermon. And I'm continuing on a series. And unfortunately, I don't have the time to recap everything I've been going through. So I'm trusting that most of you are on the same page. I started the series, it's a three-part series. I started the series that these were the days of Elijah. Part two was these were the days of Elisha. And this is part three. These are the days. These are the last days. And we're speaking about the last days, and I've been promising to get into Revelations since the word go, and we're going to Revelations today. So if you have your Bible with you, I really do hope you have. You can open up in two places. You can mark yourself Revelations 2 as well as 1 Kings 18 and 19. And those are the main scriptures we're going to work through. Don't flight anything yet, please. We're going to work through Revelations 2, and we're going to work through the story that happens in 1 Kings 18 and 19. And you remember we spoke about there was a showdown that God's going to do in this last time, and you can flight that little picture of the showdown. And we spoke about what happened at Mount Carmel, right? The great Brigham Bry. And then we went on, we spoke about the idol worship, and we spoke about the two gods that were served in that time. And you remember we spoke about the Queen of Heaven, next slide please, the Queen of Heaven, and we spoke about Baal. And the Baal represented rain, right? And that Elijah was the one that stopped the rain and basically challenged the gods of the day, showing that Yahweh, God, is the only true God. And now in part three. Revelations 2:19-23. Write this letter to an angel in the church in Thyatira. This is the message from the Son of God, whom eyes are like flames of fire, whose feet are like polished bronze. I know your works, your love and your faith and service and patience, endurance, and that your later works exceed the first. But I had this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel. Ladies, it's not that type of sermon. Hang on, all right? Everyone breathe. Who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refused to repent of a sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her, I will throw into a great tribulation, unless they repent of her works. Now listen to this very carefully, because most of us have never seen this before. And I will strike her children dead. God's saying that he's going to strike Jezebel's children dead. And all the churches will know that I am the one who searches the mind and the heart. And I will give to you, I'll give to each of you according to your works. Stay there. Christ writes to the seven churches. He writes seven letters through John. And Christ does something incredible. He exhorts the seven churches, but he also rebukes the seven churches. He brings a few things that is bothering him, what is happening in the church. For us to understand the spirit of Elijah, we need to understand the scripture. We've been speaking that the Spirit of God is coming and that's the last days. In the last days, God is giving us the anointing or the Spirit of Elijah with the boldness and the humility of Elisha. And how does that look? How does that mean? What does that mean for us? And what does that mean we need to do? And I believe this scripture in Revelation is going to open it up. Verse 26 and 27. The one who conquers... Conquers what? Just what we read now, all right? The children of Jezebel and Jezebel, if we conquer that, and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule, he or she will rule with an iron rod, as with earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father. This is a prophetic word for the last time church, the end time church, us, that God gives. And Revelations is a book that we do one of two things. We oversimplify it or we overcomplicate it. Now, hold on to the premise that I shared in the last two sermons. Be careful not to stretch something too far. Terms and conditions comply. Do not stretch this thing too far. Now, the topic of Jezebel, as we go to the next picture, is a topic that we've stretched way too far. I've got good news and bad news. That auntie down the street is not a Jezebel. When we want to reduce a Jezebel to just one person, we belittle what's actually happening and the actual power that this authority has. If it was just a little lady down the street, listen carefully, church, Christ would not make it important in Revelations. If it was just your boss or just that one person in the workplace that has this Jezebel spirit, it would not have been written in Revelations. I've listened to many sermons and read many books on the topic Jezebel. I can tell you, most of them I'm very, very unimpressed in. I'm very unimpressed about our writings on this because our focus is very one-sided. And I'm praying this morning for the grace of God to come and open a path for us to understand this a little bit better. Instead of us stereotyping the Spirit. Strap in, close your eyes, let's pray. Father, I pray for grace, for myself, first of all. And I pray for grace, Lord, that we will not miss what you are bringing us in Scripture. I pray, Father God, that we'll be able to put aside all our thoughts and understanding of the Spirit, and that we'll be able to open up and break open in Scripture what you want to do in our lifetime, in this generation, in this time, that we might have authority over this age. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to take that we're so quiet this morning because it's so hot. Another thing that we've done with Auntie Jez is we always say that Auntie Jez marries Ahab And Ahab is the most lazy person on the face of the planet. That's basically, he's a guy with no personality, and his wife just runs all over him. Now I need to correct that. Ahab was the most evil king that had ever lived. He was not the laziest king that had ever lived. He was the most evil. Now, if you've been around evil people, they don't sit and do nothing. So right there, I hope I've broken and debunked the myth of Ahab. It's not a guy that sits and has his wife run over him. That's bad marriage. And we need to do counseling. That's what that is. Ahab was a king that was evil. He built the Baal temples himself. He ordered the decree. He did evil things. He killed. He murdered. He was evil. And far from lazy, all the men are breathing like, praise God. The reference that we're going to go through is, we're going to work through Revelations, Jezebel, and we're going to look at the Old Testament Jezebel, as it's a reference to 1 Kings 18 and 19. We see that Jezebel is exceedingly wicked and immoral. Can we keep that scripture up, that last one, the underlining of the children? And I will strike her children dead. Why is it so important that God wants to strike the children of Jezebel dead? And that's what we're going to go into this morning, to understand the end times. Note that God does not strike her dead, he strikes the children dead. See, if a certain spirit grows up in our lives, it's going to consume us. And for many people, we start off with a little bit of a sin, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows, like a child would grow till it reaches maturity. See, God and the devil are after two things. God is after our mind and our heart. And so the enemy knows that if he can get into your mind and if he can get into your heart, he's busy winning the battle. Now I need to say, this has got nothing to do with your salvation. We are speaking about what happens when we are allowing these things that Jezebel does, and we'll get into it. We're going to look at these characteristics of Jezebel that allows the children to grow. And what are the children? Now, mostly when we think of Jezebel, we see there's a spirit of lust. But remember, lust can manifest in a desire for power. There's a lust for power that this speaks about as well. And as we look at the characteristics of Jezebel, and these are a few of them, it's not all of them. Jezebel is a spirit of manipulation. She wants to control Ahab and she wants to control Elijah. Jezebel is a married woman with an unmarried spirit. Many of us have run into people like this, that they married, but they're so flirtatious that they might be married by a ring, or they might be married by words, but in their hearts, they walk around like they're unmarried. We see this with Jezebel. Jezebel is a spirit that does not respect authority, but attacks authority. The biggest attack that we have in this day and age, ladies and gentlemen, now I'm not speaking to you, I'm speaking to your children. I'm speaking about the millennials, and I'm speaking about the Gen X, Gen Zs, what they call Gen Z. you'll notice that there's no more respect for authority. There's no respect in school. There's no respect for teachers. There's no respect for the police. There's no respect for government. Now, what I'm not saying is we respect the person in the position. I say we respect the position. Are we with each other this morning? But there's a major attack. We are rewriting legislation every week that's causing us to disrespect authority more and more and more. It's becoming harder as parents to raise up children. We have less and less rights to speak into the lives of our children. We may not speak to them about sex and sexuality anymore. We may not teach them what is female or male anymore. We may not discipline them anymore. We are being disempowered by a spirit of the age, and we are exactly like Elijah that sits under the broom tree and goes, woe is me. Maar hoe moet ek nou 'n pa wees? I need us to understand that we're dealing with a spirit here, ladies and gentlemen. Not a gender. Now in the past, if you didn't wear a hat to church, true story, if you didn't wear a hat to church as a woman, you were seen as a Jezebel. Praise God, we've actually started reading the Bible. We corrected our doctrine. We believed women couldn't vote because they were probably just Jezebels. I don't know where all this stuff comes from. It's just too much. But the point was, the spirit is a spirit. Christ is speaking to a spirit in the church. The King James uses the word fornication when it comes to the spirit, which is where the Greek word fornia comes, which is where we get the word pornography. So 2,000 years ago, when Christ was speaking to John, he says to John, in the last church, the church will struggle with pornography. It's one of the biggest killers in the church. It's one of the biggest killers in our children. Our children are using iPads and iPhones and ITVs and iWatch and iAm and iWhatever. It's just I. And they use it better than we do. It's what the Gen Zs are. They're a generation that's been brought up completely with technology. By 2 years old, they can use an iPhone. My one mate was telling us a story a few years ago. He had to go to work really early in the morning, and his kid that's 2 years old wakes up, runs to the bed and says, "Va papa?" And mom says, "Nee, papa, gaan werk." "Va iPad?" Second question, because he knows his dad's the one that gives him the iPad every morning just to get him out of the face. It was a wake-up call to my friend. There's a book called Digital Cocaine. Ryan, is that right? Is that right? The book's name, Digital Cocaine. Please read the book. As if you are a parent, you have to read that book. Thousands of years before technology happened, Christ looked in and said, technology is going to lead us to a place, into a very dangerous place as the church. Ladies, I know I'm speaking to the wrong generation. Tonight will be a better generation. The porn stats amongst women, pornography stats, not Mills and Boone. Okay, I know most of us know Milton Boone. That doesn't exist anymore. The actual porn amount of consumption by women is almost the same as men. That whole thing, yeah, but men are visually stimulated, women are not. It ain't working like that anymore. We need to start getting relevant again and have a wake-up call to where we are at and what we're up against. We're speaking about a few spirits here. But here's the beautiful thing. Christ, as he's speaking to John and Patmos, he says to him, but I've got good news for the church. And he says it in Malachi. He says, look, I'm sending you the prophet Elijah before the great and awesome day of the Lord's arrival. In the last days, as we are taking on these spirits, God is pouring out the Spirit so that we will have authority over this day and age. I'm about to go home. None of you excited. I pray your children will be excited. In the last days, your day, the Lord has given you the spirit of Elijah so that you can raise the dead, so that you can do miracles, and so that you can take on the spirit of the age. Now, I don't know if we're a little bit confused here. I'm not sure if we're a little bit upset here. That means whatever is ministering in your company, you can take on the spirit in your company, because that's where God's put you to minister. In your household, you can take on the spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot teach our children everything they need to know. We can't. They have to learn from themselves. Right? There's a line. There's a clear line and there's clear boundaries that we're going to have to build. So if I'm going to tell my child every time, no, you can't, my child is going to run for the hills. As most of us ran from the hills to the hills when your folks told you what you can and can't do. But if we start engaging into spiritual warfare and we teach our child spiritual warfare from the age of 2 at least, 1 is maybe even better. Then they're able to understand and take control and take authority of their own lives, so that they can discern when something's wrong. Because we can't tell them, never speak to a stranger. That's not good enough anymore. I was taught that as a child. You were taught that as a child. That's not good enough anymore. The world is full of strangers. We don't live in little towns anymore where you know every neighbor. Most of us don't even know our neighbor next to us, because we don't talk to strangers. You are so well indoctrinated that you don't even greet someone at the till when you're paying, because I don't speak to strangers. You never speak to a stranger, you're never going to make a friend. But what we need to teach our children is to discern. To have discernment of the Holy Spirit, to discern when there's something wrong. That they can discern a pedophile, that they can discern a person that wants to hurt them or cause damage. We're speaking about the spirits of the last day. See, the characteristic of Elijah is Elijah was a man of prayer. He prayed about everything. He prayed it stopped raining. He prayed it rained. He prayed for fire. Fire came down. He prayed to heal the sick. The sick was healed. He prayed for miracles, the raising of the dead. He prayed and he prayed and he prayed, and God answered, because he was a man of prayer. But when Jezebel spoke, can we fight that little clip, that little picture again of Elijah under the broom tree? T.D. Jakes is one of the best sermons on Jezebel. I love Bishop T.D. Jakes. And if you can stomach that kind of preaching, please listen. He's got amazing books, Woman Thou Art Loose, he speaks about there. But what he says is, it's the voice of Jezebel. You see, Jezebel just says to him, as you did to my 850 prophets, so may it happen to you tomorrow. And he was undone. The enemy walks around as a... what's the first word? Starts with the R, half of you got it right, half of you getting there. A roaring lion. Not a consuming lion, not a hungry lion, not an eating lion, a roaring lion. Fear steps in at the sound of the voice. They've done research on lions and on tigers, and they try and emulate these sounds in the army with their vehicle, so that when the plane goes past, it gives out like a roar, it gives that sound that brings fear. It's to bring fear into the enemy. The enemy walks around and he roars the voice. See, she threatens him. And he becomes fearful, and he becomes depressed, and he becomes discouraged, and he ends up saying, Lord, it is better that I was not born. Lord, I'm no better than my forefathers. I'm done. I'm out of here. I can't do this. So what are the children of Jezebel? I believe it's four things. Lust, fear, discouragement, and depression. And I'm going to prove this. I believe Elijah submitted on this. He didn't submit under lust himself, but the lust of Jezebel ministered, and fear stepped in. And if I look at our day and age, if I look and listen as we're busy counseling to numerous people, I'm seeing these things more than anything else. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not natural to be discouraged. It's not natural. We're not created to be discouraged. I come from an all-boys school, and I remember when we used to play rugby, I didn't play for the first team or the second team or the third team or the fourth team. I played for the fifth team. It was a big school. I'm a small boy, short guy, I was very thin back then too. But remember, you remember when you sit in the hall and then they'd read the eight slaw the Monday morning. And no one's listening to anything except for the first team, because it's always about the first team. And our school won all everything. We won everything. The debate nailed it. I mean, we had guys that could debate like you have no one's business. You don't want to be in arguments with them ever. You'll never win. And we had guys that could play chess, like mathematician type of guys that play chess. That's just next level. And we won that. And hockey, look, our school could play hockey, eh? It was like incredible. We first team won, second team won, third team won, and the rugby. And then normally, like, the bottom teams would win. That would be my team. I'd be like, yes, of course we won. And then we start getting the second team. And against Parel Gym het ons nou verloor 10-3. And the first team, we lost 72-0. You know, just like a cricket score. But that speak to us as if we'd won. And you walked out that hall like it didn't make no difference, because the next game against Boys High, we're going to absolutely annihilate them. No one could discourage us. It doesn't matter what the end score was. I mean, we were so bold that we called ourselves the Golden Year, because we beat Grey. Grey Bloom, it's our enemy, it's Mordorf. We went into Mordorf and we beat them. And we had a Golden Year. A Golden Year is when you don't lose a single game. We lost every game except for the one against that, and so it's a Golden Year. That's how we were never discouraged. It's not natural to be discouraged. It's not natural to submit under depression. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to pray for our brothers and sisters. I sit every Sunday night and every week with young people saying to me, I'm depressed because I'm lonely. And all I want to tell them is, I understand, I get it, you want a partner, but you're submitting under a spirit of loneliness, which is leading you to being discouraged and leading you to depression. These are the four children of Jezebel. To prove this theory, we're going to look at John the Baptist. Scripture says in Matthew 11 and Luke 1 verse 17 that John is Elijah. The spirit of Elijah is on John. And we find in Mark 6 verse 22 this interesting story. Then his daughter... Let's just explain what's happening here. So John the Baptist goes to Herod because Herod has married his brother's wife, and he calls out openly, he rebukes Herod. All right? That's boldness. That's a typical Elijah. If that had to happen with your boss, you'd kind of just give it a bit of an ignore and go, ooh, that's a bit awks. That's a bit awkward. And what we'll go is we'll have tea with our friends and go, braai, right? And he tannies drink his tea and he manna braai. And he manna say, you know, my boss. The guy's weird, bro. You'll never, he married his brother's wife. Like, how's that? And he tannies, woo. That's as far as we go. Yet John goes, knock, knock, knock. Listen, Herod, in front of everyone, what you're doing is wrong. You can't just marry your brother's wife. And so Herod throws John in prison. You see, the king's wife is so angry and so embarrassed, she starts devising a plan to kill Elijah, to kill John. Now we're going to read. Then his daughter, also named Herodias, came in. So there's, let me set the scene. There's this banquet. This is a big party. And his daughter comes in and performs a dance that greatly pleases Herod and his guests. Now, I don't know what kind of dance this is, but I'm going to imagine. Men, don't take this too far. But I'm imagining this is the most erotic dance you've ever seen. So much so that Herod says, you can have up to half my kingdom. Now that's a good deal. Half your kingdom. All right, I will take, not only on Monday, I will drive my Fortuna, and Tuesday my GT Ford, and Wednesdays I would like, I see a Porsche, looks pretty cool. There's one that drives past my house every day. It's got per one. I per for by my house elke dag. We really need to help our brothers and sisters. And I'll have a boat and I'll have a yacht, and she can ask up to half the kingdom. And look what the child of Jezebel does. She goes, because Elijah is always standing up against Jezebel. She goes and asks her mother, Mom, what should we do? Half the kingdom. I don't know how you don't take half the kingdom. And she says, I want Elijah dead. I want the head of John. A daughter dancing erotically before her own father. And then says, there is greater power by taking off John's head. Now we go, but listen, Burns, China, buddy or pal, he was an evil guy. He didn't know God. Look what it says in Mark 6:22. At least Mark 6:20. If we look at Ahab, next slide. As we look at Ahab and we look at Herod, it says, "For Herod respected John, and knowing that he was a good and holy man, he protected him. Herod was greatly disturbed when he talked with John, but even so, he liked to listen to him." This is a man in church that enjoys sermons. This is a man that says, "Yes, John, what you have is definitely God. When you speak, the Spirit of God is upon you, but I'm not going to change." Ahab does the same. The prophet says to him, "Listen, but you've now murdered someone to get a vineyard." And then he says, "But I repent." He goes into Ashcroft. He listens to the prophet. He agrees with the prophet, but his life doesn't change. The church is powerless in today's society because we enjoy good sermons, but we're not willing to change. We would rather submit under the children of Jezebel. See, we're saying, "I'm married to Christ, but I'm uncommitted." What was Jezebel? She was married, but a spirit of being unmarried. We see that in the church today. We see that many people are married to Christ, but uncommitted. We love coming to church. We love the fellowship. We love the conversations. We love small group. But we don't change. The spirit of Jezebel is fine that you keep coming to sermons. Keep coming to church, but as long as you do not change. God is sending the spirit of Elijah to empower the church so that we may change. So let's look at what happens to Jezebel. So Elijah can't do it, and then he has to raise up this prophet, Elisha. And Elisha goes and does what Elijah is supposed to do. He goes and anoints Jehu as king. And Jehu goes, he takes his horse under the anointing of God. He climbs on his horse and he rides to the main city, to the head office, whatever you want to call it, to the capital. And then he rides to the palace and he just rides and marches in. And Jezebel's coming, so she comes. She's busy putting on her makeup. She hears he's coming, so she's putting on makeup. So Marco Ara Moy, hair's all in place. She makes herself beautiful, and she goes and sits in the window and waits for Jehu. Jehu looked up and saw her at the window and shouted, "Who is on my side?" And two or three eunuchs. Looked out at him, "Throw her down," Jehu yelled. So they threw her out the window, and the blood spattered against the wall and on the horses, and Jehu trampled her body under the hoofs' feet. God has called us to trample these things under our feet. Here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. Here's a prophetic word. The closer you get to a spirit of Jezebel, the less you are able to produce. Maybe the reason that your company is not working and it's not growing and there's no more favor, it might just be that you are submitting under the spirit of Jezebel. You see, in those days, if you're a man and you looked after the queen, the king made sure that you were neutered so that you couldn't touch his wife. And Jehu asks the question. He says, "Who is on my side?" What he's saying is, who is on the side of the Lord? And they throw out the window. Isn't that beautiful? You must understand how evil this person, this woman was. You must understand that she destroyed Israel. You must understand that she killed the prophets. She had them slaughtered. She was an evil, evil woman. I'm not talking about your boss. I'm not talking about that lady down in the offices that seems to have a bit of what we call a Jezebel spirit. I'm not talking about someone like that. I'm talking about a spirit that is evil. God says, hate what is evil. We're not talking about a person. Please, do not go throw someone out the window at work this week. I know, parents, that sometimes the thought has crossed your mind with your own child. Repent and move on. In closing the sermon series, I want to take us back to the previous word, the previous idea. God has called us to be successful. The church is being called to be successful. That's why the Lord is giving us the Spirit. But we need to understand, listen to this very carefully. Abraham comes to his servant and he says to him, listen, please go find a wife. Go find a wife for my son, but make sure it's none of these women around here. I want him to marry of my family back there. And listen to what the servant does. He asks for the following. He says, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, he prayed, please give me success today. He never prayed for his own success. The power lusting never entered his mind. He desired success. For God's kingdom, not for himself. We need to close. Where do I go from there? Elisha has this thing, a woman comes to him and says, I owe people money and my husband was one of the prophets that worked with you and he's dead now. And they're going to take my child, they're going to take everything. And he says, what do you have in your home? And she says, all I have is a bottle of oil. And he says, get as many bottles and fill those bottles with your bottle and sell it in the end so that you can pay off your debt and everything extra is yours. God is asking you to bring what you have. Listen very carefully, very, very, very carefully what I'm about to teach you now. You remember the story of the two fish and five loaves? Do you remember that story? You've heard it 1,000 times. When does God bless? When does God bless? God blesses once it's given. He says, give me what you have. That's all I ask. And then he blesses it, and then he breaks it. There's a blessing in breaking that we are missing. There's a blessing in breaking that we're missing. God cannot multiply when we cannot break. I need to add this to this word. So we have a more healthy word here. God blesses and then he breaks. Some of us just want the blessing, we don't want the breaking. What do we learn from Jesus Christ, our Savior, when he walks on water? What do we learn? See, when fear steps in, panic steps in. Have you ever seen anyone drown? I hope you've never actually seen physically someone drown. But if you've ever seen someone that's drowning, right, in the movies, the arms are going and they help, 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 help. That's how we come to Jesus most of the time when we're in trouble. Help, 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 help. And we drown. We don't understand why we drown. It's because you've got panic. You've got fear ministry. You're not asking for help. You just, anything will do. And anyone that's willing to put out a hand to try and pull you, you're just going to pull them right in. Listen to this. This is incredible. Jesus walks on what we drown in. Jesus walks on what we drown in. We need to step out of drowning mode and allow the Lord to pick us up. Because not only does he not want you to drown and submit under the children of Jezebel, he wants to empower you that you can take it on. That we as the church can take back our nation. There's a showdown coming. And no showdown's going to happen if the church is drowning. God wants the church to be successful. If we carry on in the way we're carrying on, the morality of the world and this nation is going to be demagogue. I heard stories this week of children that's sitting with situations that's beyond me. I didn't even know these things existed. And they're struggling at the age of 14, 15, 16 with major things that we don't even know exists because we're still living in the 90s. Our children are drowning. And the church can only go into panic mode. Let us stand this morning. Father, we come and pray that you'll pour out your Spirit upon us. Holy Spirit, we so need the anointing of Elijah in this day. But we pray that we will not be taken out at the broom tree, that we will not submit under these spirits that want to come and control us and take over us and want to bring that fear and want to bring that lust and want to bring depression and discouragement. Lord, we want to be free of these things. And I know as I'm praying now, Lord, there's many of us that if we're just to be honest with each other and with you, that would admit that we are struggling majorly in this area. I pray for a season that you'll break every chain. I pray for a season, Lord, as we're moving forward into this new season, for the boldness and intimacy of Elisha. The intimacy and boldness of David. The intimacy and boldness of Daniel and Joseph and the patriarchs. That we can be the ones that pull people out of that panic. That we as Peter can walk on water and say, don't drown no more. Come up to Christ. Empower us, Lord, that we might be successful. But in the success that you deem successful, that says, well done, good and faithful servant. Not well done, good and faithful boss or master, but servant. We desire the space and the place of servanthood. As we so preciously see in Elisha. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.